Let us go to the Lord once more. Father, now we come to the time where your servant wrote down your word so long ago, Lord. We thank you that we have this to remember not only your word, Lord, but all that you have done for us. So, Lord, we turn this over to you. I ask that you remove me from this and let your spirit speak through these words, your words, to all those hearts who are here this morning. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Now, since this is Memorial Day weekend, we did take a few moments to remember those who died to build this great nation and the freedoms that we have. And I want to remind you of the words that President Lincoln at Gettysburg said in 1863. Folks, you got to understand, for a Southern boy to quote Abraham Lincoln is something very important. So remember that. But he said in his Gettysburg address, many of us had to memorize this in high school, but it says, "But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. These brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor powers to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work by which they have fought here, have thus so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here, dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth." Now, Lincoln spoke these words as he dedicated the National Cemetery on the very same ground that these men he spoke of gave their life, both blue and gray. Excuse me. One of these days there's going to be something in there besides water. I just had that feeling. But anyway, this nation survived that war and other wars, being built upon the foundation of those types of men's sacrifice, all the way from the French and Indian War all the way up till now. Well, preacher, what does that have to do with what we are doing here today? Things that are great are often built upon cornerstones of sacrifice and blood. The same can be said of our faith. That concentrated or consecrated beginning of our faith has its own cornerstone, and we just sang about it in the song previous to this. And I want to read today's text, which is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22. If you'll turn to your Bibles, I'll give you just a second. It reads, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." You see, the servicemen and women are all part of a family, just like we just read from Paul. No more strangers and foreigners. All are brought under the umbrella of the United States. And folks, as you can see from the news, some folks don't think too highly of that these days. But we've been through worse, and we've survived worse. And if we concentrate on owing our allegiance and our faith to God Almighty, who gave us these blessings, then we will be stronger than ever. We will still be sinful as individuals, but we can dedicate ourselves as individuals to God. And nations, groups, churches are made up of individuals brought together, bonded under the unity of Jesus Christ. And so it is with the Christians in the church. We are the family of God from different backgrounds, different directions, different ethnicities, different everything. But we are brought together as a family by what? The same thing that when you put a building together, you have boards, you have nails, you have copper pipes, you have roofing shingles, you have concrete, you have floorboards, you have all that. But what is it built together? It's built together into a house. And what is that house founded on? There has to be a key. Every time you see an arch and you'll see a stone in the top of the arch, that's called the keystone. What does it do? It helps the arch stay together. When you build a house, you build a castle. You build a church, you build it on a cornerstone. All the weight, all the problems goes down into that stone. And with the church itself, and I don't mean the building, I mean the people, our cornerstone is Jesus Christ. And in Him, we are fit together. All the sacrifices that He made, all the sacrifices that we have made believing in Him, make us one. Make us a family. We have the head of the family and we have everybody else. And as long as we remember that and serve accordingly, we will be active, good members of that family, always contributing to the good outcome that we have. Now, we are all family of God, the children of the Almighty through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, how do I know this? Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, starting at verse 12. It says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." You've got to believe on Him to be a son or daughter of God. You have to believe on Him to be in the family of God. You have to have Him as your cornerstone to be a habitation for God through the Spirit. Verse 13, "Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh," we're talking about human birth, "nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, 'This was He of whom I spoke. He that come after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.'" And we know this as a fact. Our faith in Him, He is the cornerstone. Our faith is the building material that goes upon that cornerstone. And through that, we are built into the house of God. Folks, it's a good house. We've walked into houses that were old, but strong. The house I live in was built in 1944. But it's a strong house. It's been through wind. It's been through hail. It's been through tornadoes. It's been through just about every, probably some earthquakes too that I don't know about. But I'm telling you what, it's a strong house and I'm thankful for it. The house we live in as Christians is a good house. It is built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. And that church, our house, has been through persecution, been through trials, been through murder, been through lies, been through all the stuff, even from within. And yet it still stands. Why does it stand? Because it is built on the grace and truth that is only available through Jesus Christ, our cornerstone, our Lord. Now, we see the basic truth of our faith in the quote we just read from John's Gospel. We are God's children through Jesus Christ. He alone offers this hope, not as conjecture, but as grace and truth. We receive the grace of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God. And it is a truth that we can receive that by what? Grace through faith. That is our salvation. That is alone in Jesus Christ. You can read every good help book you can come out there, self-help, whatever you want to call it. You can, you know, be good to puppies and pay your taxes and salute the flag and all that stuff, which we should do, because the Bible tells us to be good citizens and good stewards of what He has given us. That includes our country. But folks, if we try to base our relationship with God on how good we are, we miss the point. We miss the point because all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We miss the point that we, like sheep, have gone astray, each of us turning our own way. But the Lord, the Father, has laid on Him, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the iniquity, the lawlessness of us all. But there is now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. All of us in here, whether we want to admit it or not, preacher included, walk after the flesh at times. What does that mean? That means to put our own needs, our own self-importance, above that which we owe to God. Folks, when we do that, we try to shift the foundation. Have you ever been in a house that shifted the foundation? Have you ever been in an earthquake? Scary. First time this old Mississippi boy ever got an earthquake was up here. Shiny and I were in the house, and all of a sudden the window and the picture frame started clicking up against the wall. The house was shaking. We thought the bed was jumping up and down. It was early in the morning, folks. We didn't know what was going on. Somebody called me and said, "Hey, we had an earthquake." Really? That's what that was. Folks, it was not very pleasant. And I can only imagine what folks that go through real earthquakes, you know, 7.6 and 8 point above, all that kind of stuff. Folks, that is coming. We are going to experience that. In fact, this nation, this country, this state has experienced an earthquake so bad that the Mississippi River ran backwards. The New Madrid. Am I saying that right, New Madrid? People in Mississippi say New Madrid, but I want to say it the way you guys say it. New Madrid. That fault, when it ruptured, is going to rupture again. We've had swarms of earthquake down in the Boot Hill in the last couple of weeks. Small ones, 3.4s, things like that. But folks, there will come a time, the Bible tells us, that the ground is going to shake and the walls are going to fall and the moon is going to be turned to blood and all kind of things that we talked about when we studied Revelation. But folks, the earthquake comes when the foundation gets shifted, when the world shifts away from worshiping the one and only true God. The foundation gets shifted. When Christians start shifting our foundation away from our cornerstone, what's left? Sand. Have you ever stood on quicksand? I do not recommend it. Have you ever stood on ground that was so loose, like loose gravel on a hillside? You're trying to work your way up and all the little rocks start slipping out from under you and you fall backwards? That is what it's like to try to live without a firm cornerstone, without a firm foundation, which for us is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Not the saints, not Mary, bless her heart, not personal preachers who come on TV and swear that if you send them $100, they'll send, that you'll get 1,000 in return. Notice it never comes from His checking account. Folks, our foundation must be Jesus Christ. That cornerstone must be Jesus Christ. Now, I want to break down our text today for a little bit better understanding. 19 and 20 says, and of course this is Ephesians 2, "And now therefore ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone," as we've discussed. Now last week, we talked in Ephesians 2, the earlier part, we saw that we Gentiles are brought near to God and into the family of God by who? Our cornerstone, Jesus Christ, even though we were not originally aware of God the Father or originally part of the family. When you're building that house, you have the cornerstones laid out. Do all of a sudden you turn around and you look back and boom, there's a house standing there? No, you got to bring in the material, you got to bring in the wood, you got to bring in the nails, you got to bring in the caulk, you got to bring in all that stuff you need to build that house. That foundation, the church, is founded on Jesus Christ. But all of us are the lumber, the shingles, the concrete, and some of us have concrete for our bread, so I'm not that far off on that, or for our heads, let me put it that way. But anyway, we are all brought into the family of God, and we're all built by the Spirit into a temple where God will dwell with us. God will dwell with man. Remember, the Bible tells us our hope of glory is what? Jesus Christ in us. And I'm not saying that bragging on us because we're not worthy. We are like those sheep, those dirty, rotten, stinking, biting sheep. But when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. We are now His children. And with that comes all the rights and duties and responsibilities of being His children. When Christine graduated Thursday night on her diploma, it said she's granted this high school diploma with all the rights and privileges hereunto contained. Folks, when you graduate, when you become something you were not before, you have rights, but you have privileges and you have duties. And with those come consequences. If you do the right thing, you receive the blessing, you receive the honor, you receive the glory. But folks, that glory belongs to God alone. We thank Him for that blessing. But if you don't do what is required of you, the rights and privileges give you, then you have consequences. And what are the consequences? As we decide, you shake off that foundation. You fall down that hillside. You wind up at the bottom because God will never let go of you. If God has to humble you, He's going to humble you to bring you back into the house. And it can be very painful. Many of us have been humbled by God in different types of situations at different times in our lives. But every time you find yourself looking up from the bottom of the well, what do you see at the top? You see light, and your job is to get out of that well. And you can't climb it because the walls are slick, the temptations come fast. All the problems in your life, your health, your job, your relationships, all that stuff is keeping you down at the bottom of that well. But God extends that crimson thread, that rope, that is covered in His blood, and it grabs hold of you and it raises you out of that pit. It brings you to understand you are no longer separated. You are back with the family. And folks, He has to do that because He loves you. He is the cornerstone. The cornerstone by itself is good. It's just a cornerstone. But what purpose does it have if you're not built upon it? Christ is God and wonderful. So do not mishear what I'm saying. But you know, He chose us in a way, the church is what I'm saying as a whole, to be His hands and feet on the earth. We are called to do something. We are saved by grace through faith unto good works that He has prepared for us. That means, folks, once we become Christians, He has work for us to do. He has duties for us to perform. He has strengths to give us. He has gifts to give us. He has blessings and fruits to give us that other people may see Him in us. And we will be that cornerstone, not only that we are built upon, He will be the cornerstone, not only that we are built upon, but that others will join. Folks, have you ever heard of the Winchester Mystery House in California? All right. A lady by the name of Mrs. Winchester, obviously, her husband had invented the Winchester White Rifle. And she had a bunch of people tell her all the ghosts and spirits of the people that your husband's rifle killed are going to haunt you, but you have to build upon, never stop building. And until the day she died, she built on her house. In fact, you can go to that house in California today, it's a museum now, and you can see nails lined up that stopped halfway through nailing because she died and they left. Folks, that room at its peak, some of it got leveled by the earthquake in San Francisco in 1906, but that, folks, at its peak had 472 rooms. It had over 5 dozen bathrooms, 6 kitchens. Folks, because people started building onto it at her wish. God's house, the church, people, every time a new person joins, a new mansion is made. A new dwelling place is made. And all belongs to the house of God. And folks, there are a lot of rooms in that house because there are a lot of room in the heart of God for all of His creation. And everyone that believes in Him, has faith in Him, shall not be forsaken, shall not be cast out. And they have that room there made for them in the heavenlies. And it's waiting for every one of us. And it's going to be a whole lot better than my 1944 edition house. I'm thankful for that, but I'm more thankful for what's waiting. Now, with all that being said, remember we talked about this house. The Jews and the Gentiles were in the same family. Those that have disparate beliefs, if they believe the foundation of Jesus Christ, they all have that cornerstone, no matter where you're from the deepest, darkest forests of South America to the outback of Australia, to the bamboo jungles of Asia, to the steppes of Russia, to the Rocky Mountains of the east coast of the United States, and whatever they got north of Canada. All of that, folks, all of that belongs to God. The people is what I'm saying. His creation. And when His creation turns to Him, no matter where you're from, you are part of the family of God. Now, we became aware of Jesus, and the law of God is found in the written Word of God, the Old Testament, and then the New Testament that was added after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So when we come into this household of God, we have the blueprints. We have the information we need to build upon that cornerstone. We have the truth. And folks, it is the only truth. The reason you swear in court on the Bible, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, is because what you're putting your hand on is the only real truth there is. The Word of God does not fail. Folks have tried for thousands of years to point out problems, but if you read the whole Bible in context, there is no problems. Everything works together. From Genesis to the maps, all point toward Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you what, that's been the best instruction manual I have ever read. Because as long as I stick to its instruction, God's law, God's grace, God has never failed me. My building is stable. Now, it's been hit a couple of times, a couple of earthquakes, a couple of health problems, a couple of situations, but it stood upright because God had loved me and He loves you. You've been through health problems. You've been through death. You've been through financial worries. You've been through all of it. But you know what? You are part of the family of God. And nothing that God has given you can man take away. Now, I'm talking about real spiritual stuff. God may have given you a car and you got messed up and wrecked your car. You went too fast around the curve, slid in those loose rocks I was talking about, wound up upside dead. You got no more car, but you shouldn't have been driving like a maniac either. All right? But forgiveness, mercy, grace, wisdom, truth, nobody can take that away from you because that was God-given. And only God controls it. Yes, brother. Yes, brother. In this new condition, with the real knowledge of the truth of the covenants of God, God builds upon that understanding and uses prophets, apostles, preachers, evangelists, teachers, and even creation itself to point to Him and show us the truth that He has revealed. I've talked about it so many times. Some of the most beautiful things I've seen that got me the closest to God was creation. I joke about the Navy all the time, but folks, there is nothing finer in my life than waking up one morning, going on watch, standing on top of that boat, looking out on nothing but flat horizon and seeing the sun come up over water, feeling that salt spray and that salt smell. There is nothing that energizes me faster than the smell of the ocean. Of course, around here we don't have much ocean, so I take my salt shaker to the lake. But that's a joke, folks. Didn't really do that. All right. But my point is, creation itself. But God has given us more than creation. You can know about God through creation, but you can't know about Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? You've got to have the Word of God. You've got to have the Holy Spirit in order to understand salvation and eternal life. Folks, He gives it to you in buckets. If you will just take the time, study it, read it, learn it, and live it out in your life. And the head of this church who God points to in all this is God the Son, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of all we are, who we will become, and what we can do through Him. He is the foundation. And folks, without Him, we're nothing but a shaky old outhouse. That's what we are without a foundation. If you notice, outhouses are not built on cornerstones. They may be up on concrete blocks, but they're not on cornerstones, okay? And what happens? You drive by one of these porta-johns they have out on the interstate standing out in the middle of the road or next to the road, and a big truck goes by. What happened? And hope you're not in it when that happens. I got called one time. My brother paramedics in here can tell you this. I got called one time to a county fair where a guy got stuck in one of those. He was in it, and so one of the kids pushed it over, and the door got jammed, and we had to pull him out of there. Folks, he was not a very happy camper. All right? He was a smurf. That's right. But folks, I say that in jest, but imagine getting stuck in a shaky building that had no foundation. Imagine getting stuck in something like an outhouse in a tornado. Folks, don't take the risk. Be in something that is strong. Your faith in Christ is strong when He is the cornerstone that you've built your life upon. And do not change it. Don't go chasing some other thing that you have. Folks, it's like the guy who built a boat. And you know, when you build a boat, let's say a small rowboat, you have the wood and stuff, and you got to have the caulking and everything that goes around to keep the wood sealed, right? What if you just buy a can of Flex Seal, that rubber stuff? It'll hold for a little while, but is it going to stay permanent? No, with the sun, the shrinking and the contracting and the expanding of the material, what's going to happen? You're going to have holes in your boat. When you're in a building that does not have a cornerstone, you're going to have holes in it. You're going to have shaky foundations. You're going to walk through the kitchen and fall through the floorboards. Believe me, it happens. You're going to step on nails. You're going to be miserable. But when you are solid, when you're on that firm foundation, and you can touch the wall, and you can lean up against it, and you can sit on the floor, and you can put your table in it, and you can live in it, and we can live in Christ. We can live every day, draw every breath, think every thought in Christ. I wish I could say I do that all the time. But as we've always joked about, all I got to do to get out of that is drive through a Walmart parking lot. Because I get very angry. And instead of doing what I promised God I would do, I find myself back in the flesh. Don't do it. Always seek first the kingdom of God. That includes your behavior, the way you think, the way you speak, the way you act. And all these other things will be added unto you if you are seeking Him first. Does that mean every one of us is going to be millionaires? Despite what some prosperity preachers will tell you, no. It means God will give you what you need in that moment. If you need something to eat, He will provide that food somehow, either a miracle or a neighbor or a church member or a brother and sister, somebody. But God will use them to help you in that moment of need. Now let's move on. Let's go to verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, folks, I know that's a short text today, but very important. It is the Christ in Christ that we are recreated. What's another word, recreated? Folks don't like using it nowadays, but I will use it. Being born again. Because I'm no longer what I once was. I still go try to put on those old clothes every now and then. You know, you're going to see some pictures of Christine at our party of her when she was a lot younger. And she's got on some very pretty dresses. She couldn't get one leg in those things now. All right? There's no point in her trying to put those old clothes back on because they don't fit. There's no point in us trying to put the old man back on because he's dead, buried, and rotted. They do not fit anymore. And if you do put them on, you're going to stink. And God's got a keen sense of smell, brother. And the Holy Spirit will convict you and will bring you back into the house of God. And I praise God for that. Now, being born again, we are able to receive the Holy Spirit. This means mercy, forgiveness, faith, and the other fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And without Jesus, you do not have any of these gifts. People who practice religion instead of faith will tell you, oh, I can be a good man without God. Really? I can point in history to whole nations who have tried to live without God. Think of Soviet Russia. Think of Maoist China. Think of all these Muslim countries. Now let me ask you, other than death and destruction, what are they good at? Are they helping people? Maybe on individual cases for folks that may have an inkling of God, but as governmental societies, I would argue no. In fact, they do everything they can to pull people away from God through all kind of torture, arrest, imprisonment. All the things the early church went through still happens today. Try to go into Saudi Arabia with a Bible in your suitcase and see what happens. Try to go into China on a missionary trip. Folks, they don't put up with it. But you know what? That doesn't matter because God sees and God knows and God will deal with that in His time. Because the Bible tells us, and I believe with all my heart, that at the proper moment, every knee, living and dead, shall bow and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You can either do it now or be forced to do it later. Folks, do it now. Because if you do it now, God will bless you. You will feel His love. You will feel His providence. You will feel everything, the blessings that He gives you. You will feel it. You will live it. You will experience it. To every person, different. Because what I need is not what Brother John needs. What I need is not what Brother Allen needs. What I need is not what Brother Dave needs. What they need is not what you may need. But God still gives to him who needs if the need is in His will. That means you don't need to have one of your enemies crushed. Okay? That's not justice, that's revenge. Does God put up with revenge? He gives revenge. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. I will repay. God takes care of that. What do? You just give it to Him. Is that hard? Absolutely. Because we want to see instant justice. We want to shake the foundation of our house to make sure we can open the window and throw rocks at people. Folks, do not do that. Because when you start shaking that foundation, even with things that we can understand, emotions, feelings, rejection, vengeance, all those kind of things, when we can even understand it, it still doesn't make it right. We can say that under certain circumstances, murder is justified. And you know, biblically, that's accurate. But does God want your justification or does He want truth? Just because somebody looked at you cross-eyed and you shot them don't make you right. No, they shouldn't have looked at you cross-eyed, but no, you shouldn't have shot them. If somebody's trying to break into your house and kill your family, whole nother story. That's not murder. That's killing. That's difference. In the Hebrew, the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not murder. Murder is killing for a selfish reason. All right? They murdered our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right? But what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Have you ever said that? Meaning it in a prayer about somebody that was coming after you? It's hard to do, but it's possible because all things are possible through God. Now, moving on. As in heaven and in the Old Testament tabernacle and temple, God's presence is with and within those who are His. Remember in the Old Testament? All right, God was walking with people like Noah and Enoch. We know that. Adam and Eve, etc. But when God brought the people out of Egypt, He had them build a tabernacle, a portable temple, a portable house of God. And in that was the Ark of the Covenant. Where did God dwell? Between the cherubim on top of the ark with the people. Now, there are a lot of precautions and different rules you had to go about. But folks, God was dwelling with His people. When we are in Christ, God is dwelling with us. How do we know that? We just read it. We are a temple, a habitation of God through the Holy Spirit. God, Christ in the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. Next time you think about saying something ugly or doing something wrong, think about that. Kind of puts a new perspective on things. Why? What happened to folks that wanted to cause a ruckus in Moses' day that went up to the temple and wanted to disobey God? What shot out from the temple? Or the tabernacle, as it were? They had some barbecue, and it wasn't the animals that were being barbecued. It was those that rejected God Almighty. He doesn't do that nowadays. Thank God He doesn't. He's saving that for those that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not in evil, mean wickedness. No. He does it in justice and righteousness for those that reject all that is good and all that is holy. Now, since we are holy to the Lord and made into a temple for His Spirit, then He indwells us. We are not made gods by His indwelling Spirit. You've got some people right down the road here that say that if they keep all the rules, they will become God one day. A God of their own little place. Folks, that is not why God made us. God made us to fellowship with Him, to serve Him, to walk with Him, to do His bidding, not in an evil way, but in a loving, merciful, and kind way. We will not become gods, but we are made like God so that we can do things like God. We can forgive. We can show grace. We can pray for people. We can sacrifice ourselves on the altar of need and the altar of love. That's what we need. Our brothers and sisters that we honored this morning sacrificed themselves on the altar of blood to secure a nation that would be able to serve God the way we feel that we are called to serve God. As Abraham Lincoln said, a new birth in freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from this earth. Folks, those are good words, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. None of this would be possible without our chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone of this new temple, this new place that the Holy Spirit dwells within, it is Christ. And next week, as we partake in the Lord's Supper, I want us to be thinking about that. Folks, that cornerstone, that ordinance, that covenant that we keep, the new covenant in His blood, the New Testament in His blood, is very important. The Bible tells us, do not do so lightly. So I ask you, prepare yourselves for next week. Pray. I would fast. Now, I don't necessarily mean fasting from food, but fasting from something that you are willing to give up to cleanse yourself of the mind and the heart of things that will draw you away from God. We'll talk about that more next week because we're going to do it a little different next week. We're going to have the Lord's Supper at the beginning of the sermon, and then during the sermon, I'm going to explain what everything means. But folks, prepare yourself because you do not take it unworthily. That is a symbolic representation of Christ's blood and His body that was broken and shed for us. Why? Because He became the cornerstone of our faith. That's the sermon this morning. The cornerstone. We sang about it. We talk about it. That is what Christ is, and it can be no more plain than that. So, brother, how do we apply all of this today? Well, instead of listing three applications, I want to reword what Abraham Lincoln said, and I want to put a faith-filled Christian spin on it. It's not Scripture, okay, so don't take it as such, but it's just an understanding, a clearing up of the sacrifice that is necessary. So let me begin with this. But in a larger sense, God will dedicate, God will consecrate us in Christ and make us into a new temple. The brave men and women, living and dead, who have gone before us in the faith, have consecrated themselves for the purpose of serving the kingdom, far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little care, nor even remember what we say or do here, but we can never forget what Jesus did there. It is for us to be born again, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work that He who called us gave us to do in His name. It is for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, we take increased devotion to that cause for which He gave His full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that we will give all for our God and our King, that this kingdom shall have a new breath of life and freedom, and that the kingdom of God, served by His people until His return, shall not perish from this earth. Amen. Praise team.